Tim Marshburn.
I'm present.
Councilmember Behringer.
Here.
Councilmember Johns.
Present.
Councilmember Kennedy.
Here.
And Councilmember Singleton.
Here.
Okay, Councilmember Behringer is going to lead us in the pledge and lead us in the invocation.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated.
If y'all will pray with me, please. Father God, we come humbly before you this evening, and we acknowledge that you are all-powerful and all-knowing, and we are not. We ask for your wisdom as we make decisions regarding the well-being of our town and its citizens. And Lord, tonight we ask especially for grace and mercy for the people in Greensboro who hit so hard with the tornado Sunday and the resultant damages. We just ask you to take care of their needs and comfort them and be with them. And we ask you to be with our servicemen as they go to different parts of the world to take care of the needs there. And let us remember, Lord, that freedom is not free and that we need to be grateful for all of the sacrifices that are made. Amen.
Thank you, Kim. Next on the agenda is petitions and comments. That is time on the agenda for anyone to address the council on something that is not on the agenda tonight. If you wish to address the council, go to the podium, state your name and address. You may make your remarks.
Random.
Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. Oh, there he is.
Thank you. My name is Joe Francisco. I'm the executive pastor at the Capitol Church in Garner, here in Garner. And I'm speaking tonight on behalf of our pastor, Ryan Jackson, and the Capitol Church family. Our church has reviewed the plans for the intersection of Timber Drive and US 70. And we're very concerned about the impact that these new plans will have on our property, as it will directly affect our location. Alternate 1, the continuous flow intersection, will affect Jessup Drive, which is the primary entrance and egress out of our property. It will create a right turn only traffic pattern. Consequently, the same pattern will be created for those leaving Greenbrier Estate subdivision, meaning no one from that subdivision or general direction could access our property very easily without taking a long trek down the road before reaching an area to do a U-turn. These changes to the Jessup Drive intersection due to alternate 1 will make it much more difficult for people to enter and exit our property. Alternate 2, which is the single point urban interchange or the bridge, could potentially take as much as 75 to 100 feet of our property, according to the engineers at the NCDOT informational meeting on March the 27th. It will not affect the Jessup Drive intersection, but losing this amount of property would drastically affect our master plan for improvement of our property. We recognize that Garner is growing and that with that growth comes change. Included in that change is the need to rework the Hammond Road, Timber Drive, and US 70 intersection. And I realize that because I've traveled that intersection every day. And we understand that. As Garner changes, so does the Capitol Church. Our plan for church growth is in full swing as we seek to reach people with the gospel message. Our facility is not a Sunday-only facility, as we have hundreds of people that enter and leave our property throughout the week, and roughly 400 to 500 people every Sunday. Our church ministries and other organizations use our facility 7 days a week. Therefore, we would like to urgently call that whichever plan is chosen, that 3 things be considered: that there be no encroachment upon our property which would adversely affect the master plan that we have designed, that Jessup Drive at US 70 remain a fully operational intersection, and that our current curb cuts will not be removed since they play an integral role in our master plan entrance and egress. Thank you for your time and your consideration of this matter. I appreciate you hearing our concerns tonight.
Councilman, have anything to say?
Thank you, Joe.
Okay, we're good. Thank you, Joe. Next is the adoption of the agenda. Mr. Mayor, I move adoption of agenda as it is presented.
I would like to add one item pertaining to the use of 914 7th Avenue as item number 4 under new old business. And we also have a resolution in front of you that needs to be added. We'll need to make some corrections to this resolution as it pertains to the property owners for the Avery Street project. So we'll just add that as item number 5. Item number 5 under new old business.
Okay, the adoption of the agenda will be the additions. Need a motion.
So moved.
Sir.
Motion is second. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Mrs. Karen Newton, welcome.
Next, we're going to pass this over to my husband.
Mr. Mayor, council members, and city staff, hello. I'm Carl Newton. This is my wife, Karen. We own Chimney Keepers. We've been living in the Garner area since 1996, I had a unique opportunity to drive by the construction site every day on my way going to different jobs. We work in different people's houses. We've done some of the council members' houses as well, so thank you for that. And I thought it'd be a cool idea to just take a picture of construction during the process. And I had talked to Ronnie about this at one point, and he thought it was a good idea, so I said, okay, this is something I'll try to do. So every morning when I went out, or at least once a week when I went out and made that turn beside this hall here on the right side, I'd have my phone ready and I'd take a picture, trying to take it in about the same spot, just watch the progress. And so I put all these pictures in a collage, Snapfish, one of these really cool programs, and it just made this thing. I was like, this is really cool. I bet the town would really like to have this. So we had this thing made. Of course, it's framed in mat. You can see it's a combination of photos that show going this way all the way to completion. Do I want to show that around?
Yeah, why don't you hold it in the front?
Yeah.
It's really, I think it turned out really nice. It's got it by date. So it starts at the top, showing the distance. So, this was after demolition, so I don't have the demolition of the old building. Basically, as the building was rising and getting its sides and getting its tops and getting its bricks, and then the final picture was probably about 3 or 4 weeks after opening. I just wanted to present this to the town to have to put somewhere as a memory of the great progress that we've seen in this area, thanks to you guys and the citizens of this town.
Roger, will you say?
Sure.
Does you have dates on each one of the pictures?
No, sir. They are dates. It's dated, but they don't show up on the pictures. It was basically just the date that my camera took the film. Thank you very much.
But that's about, essentially, took about a year to build, so with 30 pictures, about once every 2 weeks.
Something like that, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. That's something to be properly maintained and preserved.
You're welcome. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to stop a minute. Ken, do you have some folks you recognize?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I meant to seek to recognize any members who are here this evening who are part of Garner 101. Why don't you just stand up, if you will? We'll recognize you. Okay.
Good group.
Give a whole clan here tonight.
Let's spend the night. Everybody need to get to a council meeting. But anyway, thank you so much for being here. We invite you to stick around as long as you can and will, and I hope you'll learn a little bit more about how your council works. Thank you very much. Good to see you. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Okay, next we have two presenters for Go Triangle. Elizabeth and Ashley.
Hi, good evening, Council. We have with us here Ms. Hooper with Go Triangle. The next phase of the Wake Transit Plan will focus on bus rapid transit, and Go Triangle will be leading the public outreach efforts to educate the public about that and get feedback. They're going to have a series of public meetings starting later this month, at least one of which I think Garner residents may have particular interest in. And so Ms. Hooper is here to let us know a little bit more about that.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. I am a Garner girl, born and raised, so I'm very excited to talk about some new updates for transit and how Garner kind of fits into that puzzle. So starting at the end of the month, as Rick said, on April 28th, we're going to begin our spring public outreach period. And we're doing it a little differently than we've done in the past. Typically, those have focused on very traditional public formal public meetings, and we've had some problems getting folks in the door, unsurprisingly. So we're doing things a little bit differently here in the spring, and we're just going to have four formal public meetings, and then we're going to do in total about 30 events spread out all over the county and doing at least one event in every single municipality. So we're very excited about that. When it comes to those four formal public meetings, the launch of those meetings will be here in Garner on April 30th from 5:30 to 7:30. And we wanted to have Garner be sort of the focal point of the spring outreach and sort of where we have all of our media folks come, simply because Garner has a lot to look forward to because of this week transit plan. Being the center for, we're having bus rapid transit coming through here as well as commuter rail is something to be really, really excited about. And we want to get as many bodies upstairs as we possibly can. So, of course, having anyone from the council, it would be wonderful to have you guys attend. If you, I'm, of course, going to give more material to Rick regarding some of the specifics of that and what we'll be outlining and asking folks to weigh in on. But if you have any questions, Rick can give you my contact information.
Thank you for being here.
Does anyone have any questions?
What time will that meeting start?
So the one in Garner is going to start at 5:30, and it will be from 5:30 to 7:30 upstairs.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Are these ongoing presentations, or is it drop in, see and leave, or how will they operate?
Exactly. So for the four, I'm calling them formal public meetings just because we're going to be formally held, you know, and we're going to have two in Raleigh and one hearing here in Garner, and the style of that is going to be drop in. So we'll have boards all over the room where people can go and check out maps. What we're asking people to weigh in on are basically two main things. The first is the phasing of the bus plan. Since we're going to be tripling bus service, we're asking people, you know, what do you think of how the bus plan will look like in 2021, 2024, and 2027? So we're calling that the phasing of the bus plan. And then for bus rapid transit, it's very exciting because we're getting to show maps of what those corridors could look like. And this is the first time that folks are going to actually see this. So we're going to show the different bus rapid transit corridor route options, basically. So we'll have those routes and maps all over the room. We're going to have, you know, technical. I am not a technical person. I'm for public engagement, but we'll have lots of technical folks there who will be able to answer any of those questions you may have.
Will this be routes within Garner or just from, say, Raleigh to Garner and back?
So they'll be for all over the county. We're going to be, so it's not going to be like a Garner-specific meeting necessarily. We just wanted to have Garner be the focus here just because you guys are going to be getting a lot, you know, out of the plan. We wanted to just give people around here an opportunity to come and check it out.
Is it in any way coordinated or are the plans that you have you seen any of the work that was in our transportation plan?
Oh, the overall plan?
Yes, ma'am. And particulars about the internal bus circulation.
For, like, internal circulation for Garner?
Yes.
I mean, we're going to be sharing what the bus plan overall is going to look like. So since it's being tripled overall, we're going to show sort of the phasing of how that's going to come in. So, of course, that's going to include routes within Garner as well. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I'm thinking the routes you have are going to be the main circulator routes. Garner has developed a plan, kind of a simulation or a plan of what it would be like to have internal routes within Garner.
Collector routes. Gotcha.
And he was asking, had you seen?
I have not seen any of those routes yet. And I'm sure that was within the community. It was not within the community funding area option where, like, the smaller municipalities will be able to do some of their Is that what you were referring to?
Yes.
Okay. No, I haven't seen those plans. As I said, I'm not a technical person, but we will have lots of maps that we'll be able to share, and of course, you'll be able to come and let us know what you think at the meeting.
Is there any reason we would we be invading your turf if we had, would we even want to show, would we be confusing the issue if we had any of our internal routes?
It probably would, to be honest. I mean, just because we have a lot of things that we're going to share, and it doesn't mean that we can't do something in conjunction in the future, but perhaps that's a conversation we can have offline.
Very well.
Okay.
Thank you, Ashley.
It's on April 30th from 5:30 to 7:30.
The Monday?
Yes.
Thank you for your enthusiasm. I agree with you that there's a lot for our Garner residents to benefit from this.
Thank you. I'm great. It's been very exciting to see how downtown Garner has been growing, and it's really exciting to think how much it's going to grow here in the future with having bus rapid transit commuter rail in town. So thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Next is the consent agenda. Four items. Move approval of the consent agenda, Mr. Mayor.
Second. Motion and a second. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All approved. Mr. Tony Chalk, Avery Street Sidewalks.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. You have in your package a bid tab, and we opened bids in March for the Avery Street sidewalk project. We had five bidders, and we would like to recommend award of the project to Sand Hills Construction for $91,177.
Very good.
Tony, have they done sidewalk work or any work with the town in the past?
They have. It's been a while, Councilman. They did some work for us over in Greenbrier when we replaced the culvert probably 10 years ago. Good small company out of Sanford that were very, very good to work with. So I was glad they still bid periodically with us, but they wanted this project. You got it. So.
Good.
We know, Tony, essentially what the length of time will be for completing this project.
I've given them 60 days. I don't think it's going to take that long to do it. I think they're going to come in and knock it out pretty quick. Is what they have told. Actually, they want to start tomorrow with award tonight. They're going to be – we have sent them contracts to sign, so based upon the award, if it goes through tonight, they were going to be here tomorrow to start work. So.
Curiosity.
Yes, sir.
Looking at items on clearing and grubbing and concrete on page 40, for us it's 45.
Yes, sir.
I looked at your estimate and then looked at how the bidders compared to it. Some bid as high as that one line item, $38,000. The low bidder bid $2,000.
Yes, sir.
Conversely, in another area, well, maybe I shouldn't say conversely, but the very next item, one of the bidders bid $97,000, low bidder was $67,000. Some of them bid, the bids range from $97,000 down to $43,000. Do you see any unbalanced portion of it, or does it cause you any concern?
No, sir. One thing regarding the number that you mentioned with the clearing and grubbing, there's not a lot on this project.
Didn't think so.
We did send out a bulletin to all of the bidders regarding one particular tree that was under power lines that we wanted to point out to them that did need to be taken down. When he bid it that low, I saw that one receive these, it doesn't surprise me. And the thing with these small projects, it's just really hard to see where they're going to put their money. But with the unit prices and the way we bid it, it typically doesn't come back to affect the bid project, except for maybe some items that we've got.
Well, the good thing for us is with the clearing and grubbing bid as a lump sum, and the low prices 2,000. If there's a variation in that number, any substantive change, you can't change 2,000, but just so much.
Correct.
Flip side is square yards, concrete. That's pretty firm, and there's not a whole lot of guesswork with that one.
Yes, sir.
It was just an interesting bid tab, and I just wanted to see what's
one thing I will add we always try and utilize past history, so I take the numbers from previous projects to plug in for my estimate. Clearly, I was slightly lower. It doesn't surprise me on a project of this scale because it's very small and we're not going to get really great prices on it because there's not a lot of area for them to make a quantity in doing it. So, any other questions?
Madam, move we award the Avery Street sidewalk project to the lowest bid, Sand Hills Contractors.
Second.
Motion and second. Further discussion. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same. Get on your still up, brother.
Yes, sir. Also within your package, you have the recommendation for award of the landscaping and sidewalk construction, walking trail construction for the Garner Rec Center landscaping and the GPAC landscaping as part of that bid. We advertised back in February for this work, only received two bids, re-advertised, and did get a third bidder in it. The low bid was $355,700 from Norris Landscaping, which is slightly higher than the $306,462 that I had estimated in that. We have Norris has worked with us before. They actually did the landscaping here at Town Hall. I've had discussions with him regarding some of the things that we saw here that I would like to see done better. Hopefully that will carry through. But again, we have worked with Mr. Norris before, and I recommend approval of the bid.
Can you tell us how it fits into the budget?
I can take a stab at it, sir. There is a memo that covers that in the back side of it, that the reason that this is being bid separately was originally part of the rec center bid due to some CDBG grant money and restrictions tied to it. We had to pull that out. We tried to find an item that was close to the $300,000 that was in the original estimate, so that was pulled out. It turned out we may not have needed to do that. That's water under the bridge. So, again, in my memo, I may be referencing it very generally, but we intend to utilize contingency dollars and then the change order that we've taken back from the contractor for this. We will have to make up some of this money at some point, but right now it's hard to speculate how much contingency dollars we'll have at the end of the project. So there will have to be some coming back to council to tie this down a little bit more once we're more certain about what our overall project budget for the rec center is.
We had this item in there were funds originally assigned for this. We wound up having to move them to another unit, but that freed up, it displaced other funds. It could be pulled back here, so it's essentially a wash. Or is this a budget? But this is not this was anticipated.
Yes,
funded for. Although we're having to eat into some contingency, you'll be able to pull back from another place to replenish the contingency, is what I'm hearing.
Yes, sir. We think so. And now we may have to come back and find that we're over slightly for our total project budget based upon how much of the contingency we use. Right now, we're doing okay on that item, even with some of the other things that we had. But until we're through or until we're closer, I have a real hard time saying with any high degree of certainty that we can utilize contingency to cover all of this.
Well, if you were originally anticipating 306, I mean, a 300 and nice 306, that's... Move to approve.
I'll suck at that. This is consistent, I believe, with the memo we received from Mr. Hodges back on October 25, or the date of the memo was October 25, 2017, that laid out some of these issues that you've mentioned, I believe.
Yes, sir.
Okay, motion and second.
And I should complete that award to Norris Landscaping Services for $355,700.
That's complete. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. Motion carries. Thank you, Tony. Chief Sudema, service level agreement.
Good evening, Mayor, members of council. You should have in your packet two documents. One document is titled Exhibit 1 and has a title below that of Wake Emergency Communications Organization. That is a reference document that we're going to give you some information about, but is not a document we're asking you to act on. The second document is a service level agreement between the City of Raleigh and the Town of Garner regarding the delivery of public safety communication services. That is the document that we're asking you to consider for approval tonight. So as a bit of background on this, as you're aware, I believe, we do not provide our own dispatch services. So we contract with the City of Raleigh to have our emergency services dispatching done. We've done that since the late 1960s. As a part of that, since early 1970s, there has been a group called WECO, or the Wake Emergency Communications Organization. It was established in 1972. We were one of the first four original members, along with the City of Raleigh, Town of Cary, and the Town of Zebulon. And then over time, that organization grew to where it is today with the majority of the municipalities in Wake County involved. WECO was initially established to be an advisory board, primarily involving managers to give guidance to the dispatching services for public safety. Over time, over the next 30 to 40 years, it evolved into primarily being public safety representatives to where I sit on that, representing primarily Garner Police Department in the Town of Garner, other police chiefs, fire chiefs, and emergency management and public safety officials sit on it. So today, WECO includes still the City of Raleigh. It also includes Wake County, dispatching for fire EMS and transferring for the sheriff. It also includes the towns of Apex, Pequay Marina, Garner, Holly Springs, Knightdale, Morrisville, Rollsville, Wake Forest, Wendell, and Zebulon. Today, essentially, everybody but Cary. Cary runs their own 911 center. The rest of us participate to varying degrees through WECO. So I became involved with this when you hired me as the chief of police in late 2009 and began to attend meetings and get information. I was initially appointed or elected as the vice chair for a short period of time, and then in 2012 became the chair of WECO when Chief Johnson left Wendell Police Department. Leading up to and after that time, began to ask some questions because the way that WECO was operating, in my opinion, was that we were being told, here's your bill, and pay it, and thanks, and that's the point of conversation. And I began to ask some questions about, well, what sort of input do we have, what sort of input should we have in terms of personnel and costs and service levels and things like that. So shortly after I got involved, a gentleman by the name of Bill Greaves, who works for Wake County, was hired, and he came on to WECO as well. He was at that time their chief information officer. He's now, I think, the chief information and innovation officer. But the two of us, he became the vice chair of WECO, and the two of us began working to try to bring a little more structure. What we found was that the only document that existed that provided guidance as to WECO operations was the original agreement from 1972. Let me say that again. The only document was from 1972, had not been updated. There was a separate agreement between strictly Raleigh and Wake County from 2005 that addressed CAD, or the computer-aided dispatch system, as well as the 800 megahertz radio system that all of us in Wake County use and rely on. So with recognizing that the document that guided us was very, very, very outdated, and that the ILA, the interlocal agreement between the city and the county, was due to expire in 2015, in early 13, we began working on trying to establish a new interlocal agreement. We actually broke out CAD and 800 to be separate, and we're looking to establish just an interlocal agreement that would, in all honesty, look out for our interests as a member of WECO along with the other municipalities participating. By 2014, Mr. Hall had been hired as the new city manager, and he became somewhat involved in the process. And then also in 2004, I think in part because of some of the questions that had been asked and in part because of Mr. Hall's interest in understanding what was going on, a decision was made to spend some money by the City of Raleigh to actually hire a consultant to come in from outside and look at Raleigh Wake Emergency Communications Operations and WECO as an organization in terms of how we were running, how it was working, where the money was going, and that sort of thing. Not that anything was thought to be wrong, but perhaps it could have been more efficient. So Kimball came, a group called Kimball came in and did their study. We waited several months for that to come back. They came back with some very basic information. And then shortly after that, at the end of 2014, the director of Raleigh Wake Communications, Barry Fury, retired somewhat unexpectedly. And so that sort of slowed us down as well on the ILA process of trying to get something done. Shortly thereafter, Mr. Hall hired Dominic Nutter. I will tell you that Mr. Hall was very good to involve myself and Mr. Greaves in that process. So we were given a voice in the hiring process. And I thought that once Mr. Hall got involved, we got a good opportunity to voice our interests and in some cases our concerns about how WECO was being operated and what we thought should be done to make sure that our interests, at least from Garner and Mr. Greaves' position from Wake County, were looked out for. So we resumed work in 2015 on the ILA and actually came up with a final draft. In all honesty, I think it was version 26 in 2016. With the highlights of that being that we wanted to make sure that we were addressing the budgeting process, the overall structure of WECO and how it worked, service provision to the members, a method for addressing user concerns, and a voting methodology. Because we needed some sort of voting ability similar to something like Campo does with their weighted voting, because there was no guidance for that whatsoever in any of the documents. So once we got that final draft done in 2016, we were then told by the city of Raleigh that they had given it more thought and no longer wanted to do an ILA with everyone. There was some concern about having to get those documents continually updated and revised and a lot of attorneys and other people involved. So they instead recommended doing an ILA between Wake County and the city of Raleigh to address their interest, which is a little unique because, of course, Wake and the city of Raleigh share costs on the 800 radio system. They also share costs on the new CAD that's being purchased now and implemented, which is good for us because they cover a lot of those costs, which address all of our users. So what they instead elected to do instead of an ILA with the municipalities is a service level agreement, and that's the document you have before you. So what they have done is come up with a generic, if you will, service level agreement that is basically the same for each of the municipalities. So we all sign on to our own service level agreement, and then as individual entities, municipalities or other entities need special or unique services, they can get addendums done so that those costs are going directly to that entity or municipality, and we, Garner, are not sharing in services that we don't get a benefit from, which is a good thing. So in terms of the two documents that you have, I would point you first to the Exhibit 1, the Wake Emergency Communications Organization document. This is an exhibit to the ILA that's being done between Wake County and the city of Raleigh. And I highlight this only because this is the document that lays out the organization of what WECO, or the Wake Emergency Communications Organization, will be going forward. Certainly not going to insult you and read that to you. I just want to hit some highlights of that. And I apologize, it's my page one. I'm not sure what page it is in your packet. But under 3.0 organization, it establishes a clear policy board in terms of how the decision-making is going to be done for the WECO organization in terms of dispatch services and other things.
Page 65 in your agenda.
Thank you. So page 65, 3.0 organization talks about a policy board. It also talks about some dispatch steering committees. So instead of the entire group consistently talking about everything that impacts fire and EMS and law enforcement, we'll have three separate groups where law enforcement talks about law enforcement issues, EMS, EMS, and fire, to be more efficient and I think more streamlined. On the following page, I assume that's your page 66, it talks about the policy board having 7 voting members, and that'll be the 3 dispatch chairs, it'll be 3 City of Raleigh representatives, and 1 Wake County representative. And the way that that was structured was to ensure that no single entity could drive any votes if it came to a vote. Although Raleigh is certainly the most significant player in that in terms of calls for service and dispatches, and then Wake County is second. We wanted to make sure that we were representing all of the members in that. It also further down the page defines that there will still continue to be a chairperson, a WECO chair. And then on the bottom of that page, 313, it does outline that one of the responsibilities of this new policy board is to review the operating budget to get information on that every January at the latest to know what the city of Raleigh is proposing in terms of costs and how that impacts us as far as users and potential increases, and also addresses any use of WECO funds for any other purposes. Going further through it, it talks about the dispatch steering committees and how they will work. Again, not going to get into the weeds on that, but then it also talks about the funding model. So what we found as we got into this was that the basic funding model was that Raleigh, the city of Raleigh, would take all the costs associated with the Raleigh Wake Emergency Communications Dispatch Center and would divide that depending by basically the number of dispatches that were made. So we have X number of dispatches every year. When you add ours with everyone else's and then divide it into the overall budget, you come up with a cost per dispatch. When we started to get involved, we found that over time there were some inconsistency in how that had been applied, and different people or organizations that were similarly situated were not necessarily being treated the same. So we came together also as part of this process and met with some managers and met with some other public safety officials and all came to agreement to deal with everyone as one of two recipients. You're either a recipient of dispatches like Garner, where we don't have our own dispatcher and everything that happens, Raleigh dispatches for us, or you get transfers. So there are secondary PSAPs in the county, primarily with the Sheriff's Office and Apex Police Department, also Wake Forest Police Department, where if you dial 911, you're going to get Raleigh. You're going to get a dispatcher sitting in the Raleigh Emergency Communications Center, but they're going to take the information and then push it out to Apex or the Sheriff's Office or to Wake Forest, who will then do their own dispatching. So in those cases, those entities are paying 25% of the cost of a dispatch for the transfer, because our best estimate is that it represents approximately 25% of the workload to take the call, get it in the computer, and push it rather than get it and then dispatch it and continue to talk and do status updates and things of that nature. So we believe that to be as fair as we can get. So that is the primary focus of what's in that exhibit. Any questions on that before I go to the service level agreement?
I was just going to ask you to help me understand, as it relates to cost, I mean, over the course of time, has the amount it cost us as a police department, the town, has it increased substantially? Or
it has increased. I wouldn't define it as substantially. We're ballparking in the neighborhood of $250,000 a year that we pay to them. That's not changed dramatically in the time that I've been here. The increases that we've seen have come from two things. One is just overall increase in costs in Raleigh. For example, one of the things that we looked at with the Kimball study was to do a staffing study. And what we found was that the communications center was honestly understaffed. Because what happens is they have two types of employees. They have dispatchers and then they have call takers. And the call takers ideally are the folks that answer the phone, get the call into the computer, and then push it to a dispatcher, where the dispatcher should be strictly just sitting at the console and listening for radio traffic. The problem we run into is that when they're short of call takers, then dispatchers start taking phone calls. And if you're sitting on the phone talking to a citizen trying to answer a 911 call at the same time that I'm on my radio yelling for help, that's a problem. So we've dealt with that, and they've increased their staff to some extent. They've also done, under Mr. Nutter, a much better job with both recruitment and retention. Their turnover is high. The national average for that industry is well over 20% a year, which is crazy. But again, you're talking about not great salary and benefits and awful hours and other things that you see across public safety. So he's made good strides in reducing that number in terms of turnover. He's also shortened up training sessions without giving up quality. So he's done some positive things that have really helped us, I think. But between their costs going up because of additional staff and just technology and other things is one part of it. And then the other part is that our calls for service have increased. We were under 30,000 calls for service when I got here. We're over 37,000 calls for service in 2017. So that's a pretty significant increase as well.
Just one quick follow-up. So I should know this probably, but the portion we paid, is this an item in the police department budget, or does this come out of a separate item from the town's budget?
I believe it's in our budget. So we get basically a bill from them every year that covers us and fire, and then we separate that out, and the town covers the fire component. I'm not sure if that goes into the fire budget. Goes into the fire budget, and our component goes into our budget.
Thank you.
Are you saying that this $307,000 that shows up a little bit later covers both police and fire?
I believe that's correct.
And that number has been in the past 250?
No, I don't. Well, it may have been that low when I first got here. Our number has been around 250 or a little bit more for the police department. So probably over three is consistent for us combined. We're a much higher cost than the fire department just because of dispatches of number of events.
Well, the decade of this thing plus this thing has been under review and in progress. We won't understand it tonight. Should we be alarmed, or are you satisfied that through the vetting you got it to a point that you could stand behind it and live with it?
Yeah, you should not be alarmed. I couldn't have told you that.
No pun intended on the law.
Thank you, sir. 4 or 5 years ago, I might not have been able to confidently tell you that. I had some significant concerns in previous years, but many of those have been addressed. I'm confident that we're getting the service that we should get for the money that we're paying. It certainly is less expensive than if we tried to do it ourselves. So it's probably the best option that I think we have available right now.
And I would say over the last few years, the WECO board and some of the employees have made presentations to the Wake County Managers Association and kind of kept us abreast of what was going on throughout the whole process. So I think we're satisfied with where we are at this point.
Just sort of a curiosity question, Chief. I won't get us into the weeds. So when a dispatch is made, and, you know, from time to time, dispatches are made public, who decides in this system when and what will be made public regarding a dispatch?
We do. We have a good working relationship with Raleigh that if they receive a request for a public records release, they will notify us of that, and we'll review. It's either typically the 911 call or our radio traffic. And we'll review both and make a determination if there is a necessity for withholding it. Our default in that category, and quite honestly, my default for everything is that it's a public record unless there's a reason for it not to be in the interest of transparency. But occasionally there are reasons not to. But generally speaking, that'll get released. But they will not, Raleigh will not do that without communicating with us.
Yeah, and the reason I asked was since we're obviously sharing the system, we still get to have a say or control those dispatches that are direct with us as a town.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions before the actual SLA that we're asking you to adopt? Okay. Sorry, that's a bit of a long way around, but I thought it was important that you have a little bit of background on what it's taken to get to here. So the service level agreement you see before you, the highlights that I would offer for you is it is a 10-year agreement, or what will be a 9-year agreement by the time we get it adopted, but it runs through 2027.
Give us a page number where we start back up. Need to scroll back over
51.
To
51.
It should be service level agreement at the top.
It's right below the introductory page on the agenda.
52.
53 on our tab on the computer.
Sorry, I may have done the documents out of order, but.
Yeah. Thank you.
So on that service level agreement, again, it's intended to be a 10-year agreement. We ask for that particularly because it doesn't necessarily need to be reviewed on an annual basis. We hope we're setting this up generically enough but meaningfully enough that it'll be good for that period of time. And, again, because it takes time to get it through all the municipalities and the attorneys and get it approved and that sort of thing. The highlights of what it does is it defines the city of Raleigh as the owners of the dispatch center equipment. It also defines Wake County as the owners of the radio system. So we are not purchasing things. We are paying for a service. We are paying for call taking and dispatching services. Everything that exists that's of a physical nature belongs to either the city of Raleigh or Wake County. But I would also tell you that the city of Raleigh, I think, is very fair in that, in the sense that we don't pay for a lot of the stuff that they use necessarily to run that center. That's in a separate budget that's not part of the WECO budget, so we are treated fairly in that regard. It also ensures, which we were very interested in, that Raleigh Wake Emergency Communication maintains appropriate accreditation standards for different disciplines. So for us, it requires them to maintain CALEA accreditation just as we maintain CALEA accreditation. So that helps us know that they're doing many of the right things as a dispatch center. It also makes our accreditation a little bit easier because we're almost automatically signed off on for dispatch services because our dispatch center is accredited. So that was important to us. It also establishes a complaint process. And again, we have not had really a need for that over the last 2 or 3 years. But prior to that, there was a need and there wasn't really an avenue for doing that. So it's sort of a worst case scenario. But should an issue come up, we now have a clearly defined path for raising a concern with service levels or other issues related to WECO. And then lastly, it includes the establishment of some performance measures. And those performance measures revolve around how quickly they will answer 911 calls, how quickly they will dispatch calls, and that type of service that we require of them as a police department. And then, of course, that also will relate to some of the fire requirements in terms of some of the dispatch protocols and other things. So without getting any further into the weeds, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. I hope that gives you enough information to be comfortable that this is a document that is literally 6 years, 5 years in the making. But after a lot of back and forth and a lot of conversation, it's not exactly the document that I would have written if I had the opportunity to write it myself, but it's pretty close. And I think it's the most fair arrangement we're going to have given the totality of the circumstances.
This agreement, I think you said, covers both police and fire.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I should say this is specifically between the city of Raleigh and the town of Garner. So it does address fire because we pay for fire. It doesn't specifically speak to fire. It speaks to the town. But, yes, it does cover both.
And, Rodney, when we – this is a – there should be a line item in the fire budget that would cover dispatch. Is that line item situated such that since roughly 50% of the calls are in the county, so does the county share in that portion of the fire budget?
They do.
That's what I need. All I need to know.
Yeah, and that's why you don't have fire here, because that's in the agreement between Wake County and the city of Raleigh, because there's 19 separately chartered volunteer whatever fire departments, and Wake County covers those costs.
Well, it's not a big item, but if the fire component is roughly 50,000, then that's if the county's sharing in proportionally, then that's a. That makes sense. That's logical.
Their cost share is 48.04%.
You have any more, Chief?
That's all I have.
Okay, we need a motion to authorize the execution of the agreement.
Move we approve the service level agreement between the City of Raleigh and the Town of Garner regarding the delivery of public safety communications services.
Second. Motion made and seconded. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed.
Thank you.
Okay, committee reports.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to
resolution to the council. I might. On your desk, there's a copy of a proposed resolution. Let me give you some background on this. A couple months ago, we presented you with a 5 or 6 page version of this, which was for the entire Avery Street, Curtis Drive sidewalk easement acquisition process. That previous resolution listed all the owners and properties and values. We have gotten to the point of wrapping this project up, and we're putting in some check requests to finance. And they noted that the check request was for a payment to someone different than the person who was listed in this resolution in two circumstances because of recent inheritance. And for their record-keeping purposes, they just requested that we do a modified resolution updating the names of the payees on those two properties. And so we've presented that to you here for your consideration. If you approve that, then we can have finance record keeping made easy.
Mayor, we adopt resolution 2018-2349 to acquire temporary construction easement.
Second. Motion made second. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye. Okay.
You Mr. Calling? Mayor, I have one other item.
Go ahead.
The over the last, I guess, 9 or so months, there's been discussion about the 914 7th Avenue building especially as the town services moved out of there to go into this new, brand new town hall we're in now. That topic went before the Public Works Committee, and they vetted that, and I think that they're ready to make a recommendation to the full council. And with that, there's some work that the fire department would like to have done in that facility prior to them moving in, and I have an itemized cost for that. But I think it'd be appropriate first for the council to agree or not whether you would allow the fire department use of that facility, and we would do a lease with them. I would turn it over to Mr. Singleton to maybe give an overview of the Public Works Committee recommendation.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Dickerson. We've talked about this for quite a while, and the fire department, because of additional hires here in the last couple of years, they don't have any more space, they don't have any building space. Administration, they've moved out and been using our space on Main Street, and they need administrative space. Like I say, they just don't have any. And so that we're fortunate that we acquired the office space where the police department is, and also 914, that we still have that property. And that was temporary town hall that served us well. The fire department administration will most likely be there longer than the town was in there. It's a temporary town hall. It'll probably be several years. So there were several items of concern they had about painting, making some improvements and additions in there. A couple of weeks ago, me, Mr. Roy Lance, Chief Poole, Mr. Dixon were there and walked through some of the things they talked about. And as Rodney mentioned, it's stated here, a line-by-line breakdown of those budget items. And cost, one-time cost of $45,000, and the ongoing cost, some items, about $8,800. So I think the committee at the time, me and Mr. Kennedy, had suggested that we give consideration to a lease with the fire department for 914. So I'll make that a motion on the floor from the, or excuse me, a recommendation from Public Works Committee. To enter into an agreement, staff will work up an agreement with them, because I mean we're paying for it. And the county has a share, but the town's paying for it. And again, you know, one day when a merger is complete and the town is overseeing all the fire department, who knows what will be in that space? But one day, as the town continues to grow, you may see town offices in that building, whether it's police or fire or whoever it may be. But anyway, it was a smart move to buy the building at the time, so. Recommendation of Public Works Committee is to go ahead and have the town enter into a formal agreement with the fire department for 914 7th Avenue.
I'm surely going to support that motion. I was going to ask a question. Are we going to do that afterwards when we talk about the cost of renovation over there? Or is that game now?
Well, it's game now as far as I'm concerned.
You can either combine them or keep them separate, but you need to explain both of them before you vote on the first one.
Well, I mean, the cost of what they are. Obviously, the primary large amount of cost is for painting. I'm thinking this was a building that the town had just occupied not so long ago, right? And I guess I'm a little surprised that if we found the accommodations to be satisfactory, that the amount we're having spent for painting and removing wallpaper is a little concerning to me, but. It won't concern me enough. I guess I won't vote for it. But this is just being done at their request for.
Rodney, did we paint it before we occupied it for town hall?
Our public works staff painted the interior, if I'm not mistaken. I think we did. We did part of the renovation. They painted just the part that we renovated, maybe not the whole thing.
Okay.
At our walkthrough, we did notice there are some scuffs on the wall. There are some areas where there's some water damage. A big part of this painting estimate is there's some wallpaper that is peeling off the wall, and it is unsightly in some areas, so they requested that it be peeled off, and when you do that, you have to prep the wall for paint. And so half of that is going to be prepping that wall and then repainting it where the wallpaper was, and a decent amount of the facility in the lobby area and some of the corridors. So that's why that painting number is as high as it is.
Okay. Thank you for the explanation.
If I remember, there 6 months or a year, maybe it would need some painting because there was no chair rail in one of the conference rooms and all the chairs backed up into it. You can see the black scuff marks. But since they'll probably be there several years, and the wallpaper apparently is the original wallpaper because I don't think the town replaced, we've never replaced right, any. So that wallpaper's 18, 20 years old. So.
Will they need the complete building?
They're going to use the complete building. Another line item you see on here is they were in need of a training room. So that larger area where we had engineering and some other employees, they're going to turn that into a training room. So part of that is outfitting that room with tables and chairs similar to what we have in our training room upstairs. So, yes.
When we took it over for town hall, temporary town hall, what was the investment in it then to get it up to speed so we could use it? Was it $300,000, $250,000, $300,000?
I do not remember that number. Tony here. I do not remember that number. We had to spend
something north of $200,000 on it to get it up to speed.
But it had not been, it had been sitting, it had been vacant for some time.
But the large part of that was a significant portion of the building that just had dirt and stone floor. And then that was the large part of it.
And we redid the carpet and some offices, for the most part. And I think that was
and
the bulk of it.
Even we had some issues. It's got older, HVAC equipment there. I don't think that's been changed out, has it?
It has not been changed out, and that's not part of this estimate, but that is on a list of facilities, of things to watch out for, hopefully it'll last for a while, but it could be a day in the near future where we would have to replace that because of the age and life cycle of those, that equipment. But that is not in the proposal right now.
Okay, some while back, Ray Singleton made a motion, never got a second.
I'll make a motion to authorize staff, do the budget separate, authorize staff, enter into an agreement with the fire department for 914 7th Avenue.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed.
In regards to the, on page 2, the summary of expenses, move that we authorize staff to give the fire department the okay to move forward with the improvements and purchase of these items on page 2.
Second. Motion is second. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Rodney, you're through with your report.
Well, that was added as an item. I have some other manager reports.
But are not committed. Well, we covered the committee report.
Well, we do have probably a couple of manager reports.
The Law and Finance Committee met to discuss the fire department's budget request, and we are prepared to make a recommendation at the appropriate time.
Yeah, I could hold this, I guess, for council reports. I was just going to mention that the Community Health Needs Assessment Steering Committee that we all got letters about, I did attend that last Friday. There were at least two people from the town of Garner, I believe, Rick Mercer and also attended. I got the impression for everybody who attended that it was kind of assumed that they would serve on this steering committee. Fortunately, it only meets a couple times a year, but it's a committee that's required by it's community health needs assessment. It's required by a provision, and so it's conducted every 3 to 4 years. So this was unless somebody else on the council wants to serve on this committee, I will anticipate continuing to attend the meetings. Next one's not until October, thankfully, so it doesn't meet all that often. But there will be some surveys and stuff that will be sent out, and each town municipality will be encouraged to participate in this survey to give a good, valid feedback. Thank you. That's all I have on the committee.
Catherine, will make that motion now? You want to make your motion now? Are you ready?
No, you don't make a budget. We don't make a budget. Motion now. It's not, not,
oh, you move. Okay.
Yeah. I think that recommendation will come forth during the budget session.
Okay. The lobbyist is not here. We're back to you, Rodney. Finish your report.
Okay. You have your Garner info in front of you, so if there's any questions about that. Also, a building and permit report shows some of the building activity in the town. And a finance report. You'll notice that the format's a little bit different. It still has the relevant information, but it's been streamlined. The other one had so many different caveats and things in it. We streamlined it so it gives it's easier to read and gives you pretty much the same amount of information. So take a look at that. If you have any comments, let us know. Want to let you know that ethics training will be coming up in May by the School of Government, and it has the actual time has not been decided yet. But any council member that was reelected at the last election will be required to take that. It will be online, so it should be, you know, fairly convenient. But it's something you've all had to do before, so that's an ongoing requirement. Relay for Life this weekend. The town is Relay for Life this weekend? I know our fundraiser. The town's having a fundraiser on Friday, which will include a barbecue plate sale here at Town Hall. But I can't remember when the actual relay
is. 28th.
It's the following week. Okay, following weekend. But we're going to have a fundraiser. We always are actively participants in the Relay for Life. We usually have a booth out at the event in Walker, so it's just one of the events that, as town employees, we've embraced, knowing that it's really important to the community, and we have, you know, members on our staff that have been affected one way or another by cancer, so it's very important to us to participate in that. Town Hall Day is not going to be the typical Town Hall Day that we've been to before at the legislative building during the day. They're changing the event to a dinner-style event at the convention center. Unfortunately, the date of that event is the same day as our May work session, which is May 29th. So council may want to give some thought as to whether, you know, you want to try to attend that event, whether you want to try to maybe not have a work session in May, or, you know, we're not asking for you to decide that right now, but, you know, I'll need some guidance on that if we want to try to be represented at Town Hall Day. But I think they're trying this as a new format, because a lot of times during the old format, a lot of the legislative body is in committees, and we didn't get a whole lot of face time with them unless we maybe saw them at lunch. So I think this is maybe a new format they wanted to try. So.
So I'm not sure, Mr. Manager, how much FaceTime we'll get at this new event, right. But I would say that I think it would be well if those who would want to go could attend, and we had some representation there. And so for that reason, I would probably favor us moving that work session to a different evening. That's one
and
voice, maybe the other.
What do we have on the agenda right now? Nothing. We don't have anything right now.
I think it's kind of interesting that, no, we didn't have much face time with them because they were in committee meetings in the daytime, but they reduced it from an 8-hour event to a 2-hour event. So it's doesn't.
On purpose.
We'll see how productive it is.
All right, okay. Just forward me whatever thoughts you have. I mean, I guess we got a little while to decide, but, you can just forward that to me or the town clerk, Ms. Gibson. Other thing I have is the health questionnaire. Just a reminder, the voluntary health questionnaire, the deadline is Friday. So anyone that hasn't done it and would like to do it, I mean, we will assist you in any way we can if you want to take advantage of that opportunity. And then the other item I have is the town staff met with YMCA staff. I don't know if you remember, but back. Okay, yeah. Can you put that on? Yes, thanks, John. Back when they were talking about the planning of the YMCA and made presentations to the town, one of the things they asked is if the town was agreeable to the greenway at the YMCA connecting to the town's greenway system, part of which
meant that more greenway would have to be built on our property to attach to the existing greenway. So we had a meeting with them last week, and we have a concept plan, well, not a concept plan, but a drawing of where the path of the greenway would be. And part of the greenway is in a wetlands and also crosses over a Raleigh sewer easement. So that is going to require a bridge, a footbridge. You know, it's very similar to the one we already have in White Deer Park. So I'm just bringing this back to you for information, for one thing, and just kind of show you the configuration of it. The other thing is when we met with them prior to the building being built, you know, there were some concerns about the amount of fees. I guess, you know, maybe there wasn't, I guess they were not recognizable on what some of the fees were as far as development fees, some of the water capacity fees, and some of the things that were in place at the time. So we offered up that we could potentially pay for the greenway that was on our property up to a certain amount. And the amount that we talked about was $26,000. So, you know, I need to get your permission to enter into agreement to pay for that amount of greenway. If you look at the map in front of you, you'll see, can you point?
This is,
yeah, can you point? Cause I
this is the YMCA property. This is the property line. So this is the greenway trail and where it would come onto our property. It comes down at this point, begins to cross a wetland that also is the sewer easement. And so at this point, this will be a greenway on fill, come to a footbridge, and then continue down to connect to our greenway. And so I'll then go in closer. So this is a blow up of this dotted line area. So this would be fill that comes across the wetland and the sewer easement. And that's per, that meets environmental concerns as well as City of Raleigh recommendations or requirements to be able to dig that up if needed. Concrete pad here, a wooden footbridge that matches the design of our footbridges connecting to a concrete pad, and that transitions to an asphalt greenway.
And we think that greenway, you know, we've already heard about, you know, residents crossing over Buffalo Road to get to the YMCA, and also this would be an easier way, a shorter way to get to White Deer Park Greenway, so we think it will have some public use. So, you know, there's a case for, you know, it being public. So just wanted to ask your consideration on that and get any thoughts.
So the $26,000 is to our property line or the entire length up here on their property line?
We're going to just cover $26,000 of the cost.
Period.
The total.
Well, that's a 26 is an approximate estimation for the greenway that's on our property, but actually does not include
the bridge. Yeah.
So we actually would not be paying for the bridge.
How many feet is the wetlands?
I'm not sure if I have a measurement of the distance.
There's a scale on there. 1 inch? No, it's not. 1 to 40.
Is that to scale?
It is, but
1 inch is 10 feet at the bottom.
They don't.
So is this the connection that when you come out, you go out the back door, if you will, the back of the Y, and the clearing that comes up and connects with our, I go by that
correct
area,
yeah,
on our greenway regularly, but so it's the one that comes up and connects there. It's almost at a curve.
You can see the clearing. The clearing, yeah, is right where this greenway would come through.
Okay.
It goes right past their activity field,
yeah,
and past their retention pond area.
Okay.
Is that roughly 300 feet?
I would have to scale it out.
350.
Probably close to that. I think the boardwalk section is approximately 30 feet.
It's definitely closer to 400 feet then.
Yeah, it's more.
What's the total cost that we're looking at? Not that we're paying for it, but that total cost of the anticipated cost of the greenway connection.
They have not broken out what this portion would be. The bridge itself is $16,000 to construct. And the original estimate they had for the number of linear feet of sidewalk on our property times the per unit price they had came out to roughly $26,000 at the time that they originally discussed that with us.
Is this sidewalk or is this pavement?
It's pavement. It's, and the other thing they did, this was originally designed as an 8-foot wide section, but they've changed it to a 10-foot wide section to match what our typical greenway width would be. And they are going to do all the construction, so we would have an agreement with them that would give them rights to come on the property to build a greenway on our property. They're going to need to access the greenway from both sides, so there's going to be some access requirements through White Deer Park in order to get to it. And when it's complete, the simplest thing is they had proposed that the town maintain the portion that's on our property, and they would maintain the portion that's on their property, and we think that's probably the easiest thing to do. We already have a bridge, and our history on the bridge we have now, it hasn't been a burden as far as maintaining it. It's made out of treated wood. The piers for the bridge are going to be helical piers, so it's just going to be a steel spiral jack, I guess you call it, that goes down the bedrock till you get positive pressure. So we don't think there's going to be a lot of maintenance as far as ongoing maintenance on the trail. We would probably have to go clean it off from time to time.
This may sound a little petty, but hold on, Ken.
What do you need tonight?
I need the town to agree on the cost. Well, actually, you need to agree to allow them to build this portion on town property and agree to contributing $26,000 to it. And since this is the first time you're hearing about it, I mean, you can think about it and we can come back.
We knew it was the first time from the numbers, and we knew right. This is what was being planned.
Right.
Let's hear from Ken.
Well, I think a lot of people knew this was coming. And a lot of people use that. I see them, I use it myself. So during the construction, do we know, will it impact the use of the current greenway area there much? While they're constructing this, in terms of whether people can continue to use our section there now. Do you understand what
I'm saying?
It should
be pretty clear till they make the tie-in.
Yeah.
There is going to be some vehicles or construction equipment that has to go through there.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out the best way for them to access it, whether it's through the parking lot and then get on the greenway, or if you could go in through the Summers Walk section. But they're going to try to keep the impact as minimal as possible. Okay.
I mean, it's a good thing, and I ask because I'm sure I'm going to get some questions at some point. Anytime you close a portion or something interferes with the normal jogging or walking path of people, they want to know, you know, how long it's going to impact them. So, and you might can't know at this point, but I certainly support doing it and supporting the cost, our share of it.
Okay, I can entertain a motion now.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made. Second. All in favor, vote by saying
aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Mr. Attorney.
We'll bring a budget amendment back to you at a later date. And did you have something, Matt?
Retreat dates or no?
Oh, yeah. The last thing I had for you was just to firm up the retreat dates. Council had originally said that you would like to not, you know, try to have a retreat during an election time. Right now, we had proposed the 14th and 15th of November.
Wednesday and a Thursday.
That's
right?
A Wednesday and a Thursday. The election's going to be, you know, the second Tuesday, so it'll be on the 13th, and it's not.
Election's on the 6th. First Tuesday, unless it's the first.
Yeah, I'm wrong. The 13th and 14th is what we're proposing to move it to. The election would be on the 6th, and we're proposing to get away from that week to go to the 13th and 14th.
I thought we were potentially talking about the 14th and the 15th, although I suppose either. I think it was originally on the calendar for Wednesday the 7th and Thursday the 8th, but there was the concern about in certain years that would put it immediately after an election, which may not always be the time that, that you all would like to have it. And so perhaps it made more sense to push it back a week, have it be on the 14th and the 15th, and that would be on a cycle that, that could repeat from year to year if that was your desire.
The 14th, 15th is correct. I misread my notes. I blame it on my new contacts. Yeah. 14, 15.
Well, and I didn't know if does the town, I guess, is Veterans Day a holiday? So the 12th would be a holiday, so I didn't know you might not want to start this thing for town staff coming right in off of a holiday.
And the 11th has to be on the 11th.
Do what?
The 11th will have to be on. No change. It's on the 11th.
The 11th, yes, but the Veterans Day will be because our banks and so forth offices will be closed on the 12th because the 11th is on a Sunday this year.
All right. Okay. I don't have a problem
and for
with
this
that.
First year, I mean, it's not a municipal election, so
right.
It could be fine for 1 year, but we might we'll consider moving it to another date in future years.
Is there any objection to doing it? Do we have a problem with having it the first week? This will wind up being problematic for me, but if we have to, we will. But this is way in advance. We're not involved in an election. That is, council is not. I don't know how this affects that. Does council have a at this time? Do you prefer it on the 13th and 14th versus the 6th and 7th?
14, 15.
No, we're talking about 14,
14
and
15.
Okay. That's yes. Are you proposing if we kept it on those days, Mr. Kennedy, the 7th and 8th?
That would work better for me. But that's only one person. If it works better for y'all, go for the 14th, 14th and 15th.
I mean, if we keep Election Day open, I'd say the 7th and 8th. I could agree with that, that week, Wednesday and Thursday.
The next year, I certainly understand. There's four people here that will
affect. I think that's fine. We just wanted to have some certainty about what date you preferred so that we could go ahead and start booking rooms and that kind of thing. And since there was some question about the election in certain years and then and even having it, whether it was a good thing or not a good thing to have it on the same week where we already have a council meeting. And so I think we can work with either. We just need to know to make sure that we're booking a room at the right date.
Look one more time.
If we do the 7th and 8th, I'm good with that. Or the 14th and 15th. But if council prefers to move it up that week, 7th and 8th is good.
I think there's probably consensus on the 7th and 8th. Is that good?
We'll have a council meeting on the 5th of that week. So.
Are you okay? It's a long ways off. Okay, but before we go into reports, anything anybody needs to add? Mr. Attorney.
Get a closed session. I can talk about it now or the end of the council reports.
Wait till then. All right, we're going to start with the council. Ken, we'll start with you on your reports.
Okay, well, I've already mentioned the one item, so I won't go over that again, the community health assessment. And, Mr. Mayor, I will ask to be excused from our work session next week since I will be on a trip out of town. Other than that, I don't believe I made a note of anything else for now. So thank you.
Kathy. Yes, Mr. Mayor, a few things. West Garner Road, again, needs Public Works to go and pick up some trash. There's some pieces of wood in the block where GPAC is preceding GPAC laying in the area by the curb. Been there for about a week and a half. There's also glass on the sidewalk on the Avery. North east side where the town owns that piece of property is broken glass there. So we need to get that looked at. Would like to thank the town clerk and the deputy clerk for making the foyer, the lobby area more beautiful than it was. We have some greenery out there and also upstairs in the reception area of the clerk's office. So thank you. It's much more attractive. And I had an interesting or I'll say humorous, event or encounter a couple of weeks ago. I attended a dinner here in Garner.
agreement was a choral group, a special needs choral group, and there were all kinds of different needs exhibited there. And there was a older man dressed very nicely, walking around a lot, and finally came up behind me. And when I was eating, I didn't even hear him. He said, "Mrs. Behringer." And so I turned around real quickly because I had a deep voice. He said, "My name is Robert. I watch you on TV," and turned around and left. Everybody watches us on the council meetings. It's amazing who is interested that we think might not be. But that was really a nice gesture on his part. And as for Mr. Pastor Francisco's remarks earlier on public petitions, had a lot of comments from people at the Capitol Church about the problems that could be had if they closed the Jessup Drive intersection. It's to be a right in, right out at the present time, but the idea is that a stoplight will be removed, and the folks who have to make the right out of Jessup Drive, out of Greenboro, have to go all the way past the shopping center to make a U-turn and come back around. So that's just a serious concern of folks that live in that area. Understanding that the improvements have to be made, we just hope that DOT can work with them in some way to alleviate their distress.
Yeah, now that you mentioned that too, one thing council may want to consider is whether you want to do a town council comment on that as you address it, or if you just want to do it individually. I think the comment period is up.
We have an item on the work session next week to bring that back and seek whether you give us a consensus opinion or not. So we will have that information coming back to you.
Something to think about until you have the work session, what your comments might be for that. Just wanted to make sure you were prepared.
Could I ask Ms. Behringer, since I believe she's a member of the church, it wasn't quite clear to me, even though I think it was implied, of the two options, did the church take out a position, or they pointed out concerns with either one?
I think they would prefer alternate one if Jessup Drive remained open as a fully functional intersection. The stoplight's going to be removed under alternate one plan, and you will not be able to make a left turn off of 70 East into the church property, nor would you be able to make a left turn into Greenbrier going 70 West. So they will be having to go to the intersection that they have to go to from leaving the church would be McCormick Street, which is not too much of a stress, but for the folks in Greenbrier, they'd have to go all the way past Garnertown Square to the intersection where Walgreens is and make a U-turn there. So they've just got a lot of concerns about the safety and the difficulties there. But as far as the church is concerned, I believe overall they prefer alternate one.
Which is the...
That's not the bridge.
Okay, yeah.
They have, about 2 years ago, developed a master plan for expansion. And while they're... plan does not go into the DOT right-of-way, it does utilize all their property other than that. And they recently had some information saying that the curb cuts into their property may be taken out as well with the new plan, and they're concerned about that. And that's awesome.
I don't have a report. I just want to say I appreciate the Department of Transportation for taking care of the potholes on 50, that old bridge.
Got you on the masters. Green jacket. Oh, then go over to
waiting on the check.
Right.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Well, I think on the 70, we have to realize, and they'll take, I think, all comments into consideration. From a safety standpoint, taking the stoplight out makes it safer. That's why they're doing it. You have to go down, but from a safety standpoint, it's supposed to make it safer. We have to remember, we were still meeting in the police department. They gave us the presentation for the improvements they want to make on 401. They're going to do the same thing on 401. I mean, we thumbed that one up pretty quick. So we have to remember all this. That they're going to, if they're state highways, and they're going to make the improvements that they deem to be the most appropriate. I travel all over the eastern part of the state, as y'all know, and they're doing these safe streets and these crossover intersections. They're eliminating left and right. They went into the half lock if you go on 70, which used to be five or six lanes, and they eliminated the middle lane basically. They made a lot of improvements in New Bern into town and New Bern on a couple of the main drags and Boulevard, where they did the same thing. We don't have crossovers. So anyway, I'm saying that's because that's supposed to make it safer. We heard the presentation. I understand the church's position and the fact that they could lose a lot of their property. I think you said, what, 70% of their property they could lose?
Alternate 2 would cause them to lose up to 75 feet of frontage.
Frontage, which is a nice chunk of change. That's a lot. Large chunk of land and a chunk of change, too. So that's pretty significant for the church. So it's a, you know, right? And the church is in a bad spot either way. And also the Greenbrier neighborhood, I understand their concerns about the stoplight because fought for so long and so many years to get the stoplight there to make it safe kind of thing. Be possibly gone, so that's tough for them also.
And the reason the stoplight was put there to begin with, finally, was because of the death at that intersection.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had more than one death, but the last death, Mr. Ward's death, triggered that finally getting put in. So, anyway, it's it comes with growth. It comes with the growing pains, some of the things that we have to do. And, of course, you know, the bridge has been talked about for almost 20 years. They didn't have Timber Drive probably open good, and we were talking about the bridge in closed session before the shopping center came, the Garner Town Square Shopping Center, because that's how they determined where they would make the entrances along 70 and on Timber Drive. I had something, and I forgot it. We got to go on that topic. If it comes back to me, I'll bring it back up. It was nice. I'm glad we approved another sidewalk tonight. We, you know, recently the Thompson Road sidewalk, it's been completed. We know the sidewalk with Avery Street. We had the public meeting here for the Spring Drive and Van Dorn Spring sidewalk. And then I talked with Mr. Chalk again about the Van Dorn Spring sidewalk that will go down from where the fire department is, Timber Drive, and go south down to Tiffany Circle. In the improvements along Van Dorn Springs there. He said that public meeting should be sometime in the fall because of the issues with the Clomar crossing over the stream and all the requirements with the federal government. That meeting will be sometime hopefully in the fall so that project can start construction next spring. So anyway, some sidewalks. Slow but steady progress on the sidewalks that were approved in the bond referendum. That's all for now.
But
For the folks that probably might have had questions about a lot of flags being in the median near on Highway 70 at where Montague from the north tees into to Highway 70. Am I correct in saying, John, that those or Matt, whoever knows most about that, is that those flags and equipment out there are in anticipation of improvements and making improvements at that intersection so that people can have access to Montague from 70 and egress?
Yes, sir, they are. We're actually doing work already. So crews have been mobilized over the last 2 weeks, moving boxes and getting things prepared for more work. But there has been some work already started there.
Okey-dokey. We're still scheduled for the budget work session for May 23rd. Is that correct?
Correct. That's correct.
And that'll be here?
Yes.
Okay. Some time back, we had a proposal, and we approved on Thompson Road when the curb and gutter and sidewalk was installed. The backfill there was steeper than what was able to maintain with a normal mower. And we authorized some additional fill, and that work has been, from the general appearance that I see, is complete. That was W. E. Garrison was doing the work, and they kept people at it pretty steady. And the reason I say I think it's complete is that I can see the straw on top of the backfill now, and I've seen the results of the backfill. There'll be some official statement about that, but that issue hopefully is being taken care of. You've heard me from time to time mention appearance, and it got to the point where I'd asked to put it on a work session agenda. I think it's probably best not to, but it's best to pull it from a work session, which would be a giant brainstorm to have some discussion with staff and put a little bit more structure before it comes back and worry y'all to death with it. So I just want to let you know I'll likely be meeting with staff and tried to get a couple of the folks that were interested in that issue to meet on a smaller scale and then talk about what are really some of the things that are truly involved in it and what's the intent and the intended outcome. And the last item, obviously, there's nothing going to take place except a discussion, but it'll give it some structure, and it'll be back on a subsequent agenda at an appropriate time. I don't think there's going to be any significant budget issues related to that. That happens to be, quite frankly, the wrong time of the year, but I'm not worried about that day. Right now, that'll come in, if there is any, it'll come in due course. Last item is that I filled out the health assessment. Didn't have all particular numbers, and I was going to get some feedback from y'all and see if y'all had any thoughts about this. When I was finished, and they gave me a score, but I can't tell whether that was the official that I completed it so I can avoid the charge, because the charge is really important to me. $40 a month is, I'd like to be able to $480 a year for completing the form, pretty hefty chunk of change. But anybody else run into the same thing?
You got a score, that means you completed.
You finished, right. You did. I did it Sunday night.
That concludes my comments. Thank you very much.
Okay. Do y'all want to take care?
I just want to say, with that, on the appearance issue, I would like to join you all with those discussions.
Not a problem for me.
What I was going to ask is, do you want to take a comfort break and then go into closed session? Go straight to comfort break. All right, we'll put us in recess about 5 minutes. Okay. Then we'll go to closed session. Okay. All right, go ahead. Let's do it.
Yes, the council is in closed session to discuss a possible real estate acquisition and the town's negotiation position regarding such real estate, and took no vote at the time.
No action taken.
No action taken.
Anything else?
Move we adjourn.
Second. Third.
Motion and second to adjourn. All in favor?
All right.
Bye.